Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew Miles Debastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and my producer, Nicole. Nicole is my right arm here. She keeps this all running smoothly, the chat room, screening the calls, giving her insight into a higher love. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Now, tonight's show should be very exciting. We're trying to figure out how we can fix our love lives. Of course, I do talk to the dead, those who have crossed over. They're very helpful in sharing what they learned when they're in spirit and what they had done wrong when they were on earth. Most of you know that my mom passed away last week. It was after a long, drawn-out illness. I saw her increasingly growing weaker in the last few weeks. But for a woman who was quite scutchy in her life and even toward the end of her life, the last few weeks, the miracle happened that I was hoping for. She got very peaceful and serene, and I could see in her face this angelic light that she was getting a lot of her life review, that she had made peace with her life and with dying. And so the last few weeks surrounding her life were quite beautiful. For any of us who have strained relationships with our parents, at the hour of their death, lots of good things can happen if we allow it. As I saw her getting weaker the last 5 days, it was very painful for me because I knew she wanted to die in her home, but she wasn't experiencing any pain. I had gotten her meds just perfect. She was not in pain at all, thank God, but I knew she was going, and I was torn as to what to do about it, and a brilliant, brilliant message was delivered from on high to me that basically said, no one knows what to do with the dying, not a doctor, not a hospital. No one knows better than you. And why don't you see how she's doing, and she's doing beautifully, and she's happy. And she will go the way that you want. And so as Wednesday approached, she did die on the Friday, I had a little trouble falling asleep. And I was wondering, should I call the doctor? And I knew if I did, he would put her in the hospital, and I would lose control over her dignity and her dying. My mother came to me in her spirit and said, I'm okay. Do nothing. I'm fine. And when she died on Friday, I knew I had done exactly what she wanted. I did demand of God on Thursday. I said, whatever lessons is in my mother's long, drawn-out death, whatever karma she had, I believe she has suffered enough. I don't think there's anything left for me to learn in this experience as well. I ask that you take her breath away. I know you can do that. I know what stillborn is. I know what SIDS is. It's when God decides that that being does not have to walk the earth and can simply take the breath away. And that's what happened. My mother had a beautiful day, said goodbye to her best friend, and pretty much took a breath in, no breath out, and passed away quite peacefully. So that's my message today, that we can die with dignity. Nicole, thank you for calling me when you heard. I do appreciate that.
Oh, thanks. Please, Cindy.
And I think it was an experience for me because whatever fear of dying I may have had, I don't have it anymore. And anyone who comes into the house, which is for sale now, by the way, they walk into my mother's room where she passed away, and of course I don't mention that. They go, oh my God, there's so much love in this room. Oh my God. Because I believe all the angels and my dead relatives that came for her left a little scent of love in that room. So, Nicole, how has your week been going with your love life and everything else?
Well, you know what? My week has been kind of up and down. Right now, work-wise, my partner Philip and I are prepping for our opening day of our second location out in Shirley. So that's going to be open. It's called Play and Trade. Right now, we own one. It is a franchise, so we're all not connected. But Philip and I opened up one in Miller Place a little over a year ago, and now we're going to be out in Shirley right on Montauk Highway, right off of William Floyd, where our opening day is going to be the 27th, 28th, and 29th. We're going to have BLI out there. Vic Latino is going to be out there. We're going to have a whole bunch of stuff out, you know, going on for that whole weekend. So I've been prepping for that. I actually had a death in my family as well. Last week, my aunt had passed, and that was actually a kind of a breath of fresh air for everybody in my family because she hadn't really been sick. She had gone to the hospital for something unrelated, and she had a DNR in place. And unfortunately, since she had gone into the hospital for something unrelated, it was a Catholic hospital, and when she went into congestive heart failure, they resuscitated her, you know, without her wanting them to do so. So she spent quite a few, you know, I'm going to say maybe 2 weeks, you know, in basic, you know, agony, you know, and I'm just asking us to help her because she just wanted to be let go. And finally she got better enough for them to take the tubes out, and she went peacefully the day that they were moving her out of the hospital. So, you know, that's been a big ordeal with, you know, me and my family. And otherwise, as far as love goes, or rather as far as my love life goes, everything is absolutely wonderful in that department. I have no complaints.
Good. And again, while you're listening out there, the DNRs are very important. With my father, whose death was very, very hard for me to watch because the live-in aide did not hand the DNR to the ambulance driver. And so my father did die on the way to the hospital. And instead, being that they brought him back to life, they tortured him for a month with every conceivable test, torture known to man, to the tune of $500,000, by the way. Everything was against his living will, but once you're in a hospital, living wills have no meaning because Medicaid or Medicare or your insurance is paying the bill, and pretty much what they tell you is if you're not paying the bill, you can't do anything because we need to get him out of the hospital into rehab, which they never make it, you know, when they're that bad.
Yeah.
And so he was quite tortured when they were going to stick the feeding tubes down his throat. He pretty much made the call to die. And so some of us have to really think about before we go in a hospital if we're ill. Always for any small procedure, bring your DNR or whatever. You never know. And, you know, be careful if you're going to go into a hospital. Know that once you send someone there that you love, you do lose control over them. And I know when my father tried to get my mother out of the hospital when she was dying over a year and a half ago, they threatened a Catholic hospital to charge him with murder if he took her out of the hospital. And this is an 89-year-old man that needed to hear that like a hole in the head, but he was not your typical 89-year-old. He, of course, called lawyers and consulted, and they said, no way, you can get her out of there with hospice, and that's what he did. So I think it probably works to intimidate a lot of other people, but my father was smart enough to know his legal rights. So with that, I think we should move on to our callers. We do have a lot of callers today.
We do have a lot of callers tonight. All right. And as usual, I cannot screen the first caller, so we're going to jump right into the 510 area code and see what they have to say. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Cindy. Who is this?
This is Rochelle. And this
Hi,
is
Rochelle.
Hi there.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California.
Wow, we love our California listeners.
I'm here. I have a question.
Sure.
I've been without a relationship for many years. I have had people that I go out with, guys that I go out with, but they're just friends.
Yes.
And this is not a really good time to have a relationship because I am looking for employment. But I was just wondering if there's anybody coming in the future, and maybe by then my life will be a little bit more settled and I'll be able to enjoy that relationship.
Okay, basically, one of the errors in thinking you're doing is that you know when the right time for love is. I would advise you to turn your love life over to God and see if God doesn't have a better plan, a different plan for when your love life would be perfect. There's never a perfect time for love. There's never a perfect time for anything. It comes with God's divine timing. And for you, you're a little bit of a closet commitment phobic because you want things to be, because commitment phobia is a control thing. We want to control our life. And love is something that we're not in control of, true love, not mediocre or toxic love, but really a soulmate love is something that we will lose control of our life to the extent we can't wish this away or will it away, and it comes when it comes, and, you know, it's a gift that we have to accept. So in your cards, there isn't love in the immediate future, almost because your thinking is keeping it away. About how old are you? Are you in the 30s, 40s? You know, what age range are you in?
I'm in my mid-50s.
Okay, so at this point, you know, you said you've had your, you know, relationships, and you haven't had one in a long time, like 10 years or so. How long was your last relationship?
So my career for 15 years took priority. So I have gone out with guys, but a serious relationship I haven't had since the 80s. And again, it was my career that took priority.
Okay. I happen to be a woman who's probably not worked less than 70 or 80 hours a week for the last 35 years. But
me too.
But and we're a generation that we're the first ones to sort of stop the prostitute archetype. We're not going to stay with a man for money. We're going to support ourselves. We're going to stand on our own 2 feet. But I did set love as a priority, and so love has always managed to fit into my crazy time schedule. I'm questioning from these cards. It seems like getting a job, of course, is very important because you have to support yourself. But I'm not seeing love as a priority in your cards at all. Are you going? You really need to sort of put that, you know, my work and love are like two priorities that can exist side by side. And mainly it looks like you've been hurt in the past, and, you know, by being not intimate with anybody, you're sort of keeping yourself in like a safety zone.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to, I know you don't want toxic love. And I know you don't want mediocre, you know, a sitcom marriage that's boring and taking each other for granted. But soulmate love really is something different. It's two equals. You know, you're a woman that can stand on your own 2 feet. You don't want any man being your master. But you don't want to also be mommy to a boy because, you know, you're making the money. You don't want to, you know, have a boy you have to support. So have you written down what kind of soulmate you would like or what kind of person you would like to come into your life?
I've definitely thought about that, and I want someone who's a mentor to me as well, but an equal partner at the same time. And there's a part of me that is still a little girl, so I would like someone who's very nurturing. I definitely need that, and somebody who's emotionally available, because I've been with too many who are not.
Right, and that's a very important characteristic, that they do be emotionally there for you. I do see love coming, but you're kind of going to have to put that on like the front burner instead of on the back burner. What's been channeled to me is that the greatest love affairs are happening to women 50 and over. Mostly we've had to sort of see the dysfunction. We were sort of raised in changing times. It was sort of Leave It to Beaver kind of, you know, moms that stayed home, and suddenly in our lifetime that all switched and changed. And so we were sort of the transition generation, and many of us made the same mistakes our mothers did, or tried to avoid them by avoiding relationships, whatever it may be. But now at this second half of women's lives, it's really becoming a priority. So I see as soon as you sort of put that in your mind, your dad has passed away, by the way?
My dad's still around.
Who is the man that you were close to that passed away a long time ago?
I have two grandfathers that have passed,
and
but I wasn't...
There's another man. Was it an uncle of yours? Because he wasn't that old. I mean, he was old, but he wasn't like really that old. That
no.
There's a man that's been watching over you a long time. You do have your grandparents, but it's somebody else. And basically, this man knew you when you were little. He could have been a neighborhood, you know, a man in the neighborhood when you were growing up. But he's basically saying when you were a little girl, love was very important to you. It appeared to be something that you had wanted. Life sort of took that dream away. But what I see here is you deciding that love is what you want, and then it will come. But I would stop thinking, I want to get my job first, I want to get this first, I want to get that first. Why don't you just say, God, bring it on when it's the right time?
Okay.
Because that makes all the difference. Nicole, do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. Basically, where I stand on that sin, and I actually could empathize a lot with what you're saying, because, you know, for as many people that listen to the show regularly know, I did put work first, you know, for a great, you know, for a long time, and especially with this new endeavor. And basically because of the way that I was thinking, you know, there were very, very few opportunities that were presented to me. And although I kept saying, you know, throughout the course of the year, and you could even listen to the podcasts to hear me say it, you know, not a lot of opportunity really presented itself. You know, I had given myself a timeline, and, you know, my focus point was always career-based, you know. But it wasn't until I realized that, okay, fine, you can concentrate on career, you can concentrate on work, but there is also a way to put that much dedication into something but still maintain somewhat of a healthy balance with what you want, and even if it's not completely balanced, but just to have something else there afterwards, that's when opportunities started to present themselves. And then there were, you know, a number of other obstacles and blockages that I had to get rid of. And once I stopped blocking myself and being my own worst enemy, things happen. You know, and all of a sudden everything comes with a greater amount of ease, because you're literally sitting there and it's your own thoughts, you know, that are manifesting, and you almost get that kind of validation, because here you are thinking something all this time and putting it out there and saying, this is what I want, this is what I want. And, you know, the words ask and you shall receive could not be more true in that particular case, you know, especially when you're dealing with love. If you put yourself out there to get love, you know, and to receive love and to be open to love, love will find you.
Right, and where
but
we
you
put
have
our
to be
energies,
open for it.
Where we put our energies is what we manifest. If you're just going to manifest work, that's what you want, that's what you're going to manifest. If you decide to put some more of that manifestation into love, it will be there. So, you know, you really are kind of keeping love at bay, whether you're aware of it or not, with, you know, with restricting when it should come. So just open up, you know, and see what God has to bring you. And it may be very much linked to your new job, by the way. So keep looking for that new job.
All right. Well, thank you
Good
very much.
Good luck to you. Nicole, can you get another caller for us? Thank you. And thanks for calling in. She was very sweet.
Oh, no, she was very sweet. All right. We are going to move on to Sandy in California. Currently, she is in a long-distance relationship. And, you know, she's still got some work that she needs to do, and she's come a long way. This relationship is very, very energetic, and she needs to know whether or not she should just let divine timing take over, whether or not she needs to be doing something to kind of expedite things a little bit. So we're going to move on to Sandy out in California. Hello, Sandy.
Hi.
Hi, Sandy. Those are good questions. Now, how long a distance and how long has this long distance been going on? Those are two very important questions.
Okay. Well, it's been going on a while because of situations. We have known each other probably for 4 years. He travels all the time. My spouse just passed away 4 years ago. It was really a destiny connection.
Did you ever occur to you that this is a very unusual alignment of cards, by the way, that you have. There are two soulmates in the picture. One of them being your husband who passed away. And this other man, you know, our soulmates, if we love them heart, soul, mind, and body, are allowed to gift us with another love. It appears that your husband gifted you with this man.
Oh.
So, you know, he didn't want you to be alone, by the way. And he sort of was, he must have been a really good man, because he seemed to have cut a deal with God, from what he's saying, in which he said, I'll go, but you better bring someone else pretty fast.
Oh.
for my wife. So he definitely loves you. You have children with this man?
Yes, we have two.
Because he's wanted for the children to also have a male role model. So I think he's concerned how long the long distance is going to keep staying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he watches over the kids very closely, by the way. And so you said for 4 years you've known him. And how often do you get to see him?
Not too often. It's a very unusual relationship because it's more of a it's an energy relationship a lot, and so
I will tell you it's a safe relationship for you because you lost a man who, when someone dies on us, what happens is that fear of ever loving someone again who could die on us becomes very great. So you've almost chosen to love almost a man whose body isn't with you. You're
right.
Loving him heart, soul, mind, you know, as if he's already passed on. You're not really allowing yourselves to be together in body.
Mm-hmm.
Most people come home with their bodies only because, you know, their hearts, soul, minds are elsewhere. In your case, you're sort of loving him in a way that is protecting you at some point. And now it appears to me that you're starting to miss that whole heart, soul, mind, body thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure, you know, relationships work in 5-year cycles. By the time this, you know, fifth year comes around, I'm not so sure you're going to be willing to be having this relationship any, you know, just on the energy level. It looks like you're going to be wanting more.
Well, he has wanted more. It's me that's pulled back because I was very comfortable in the energy, but I get very nervous when I would see him in person.
Again, that's because the fear of abandonment via death.
That was out of my comfort zone, and I know that, and I'm just wondering.
The problem is a little bit, and if all your husband insisted you be brought this man right after. You didn't go through all the mourning of your husband. Are you aware of that? You really haven't done some of the mourning you still need to do.
Okay.
And in doing that, you'll understand that love never dies, that your husband is near you, he's with you, and that he has brought this other love. It is really your fear of really opening your whole being to this person who, of course, we're all going to die. I mean, that's, you know, having watched my mother die and my father die in the last 6 months, I've come to terms that death is really a part of life. And we have to stop limiting how much we're going to love people because we're afraid of that future happening. You know, one never knows who's going to die first. We just don't even have that concept and that,
right.
And that ability to know that. So what your husband's saying is, why don't you just open your heart and let yourself love him heart, soul, mind, and body? Because in that loving of the body, you will come to mourning. You will allow yourself to feel that pain and then move forward. He understands it changed your whole life. He's you know he didn't want to leave you, your husband. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
And in the laws of karma, it was his job to go first to teach you that love never dies. He appears to be a man who gives you signs. Are you seeing them?
Yes.
Okay, so he's proving love never dies.
Yes.
But it is really why people usually get involved in toxic love or mediocre love is because they have massive fears of abandonment. There's an unconscious contract. No matter what you do or I do, we never leave each other. But that's only an illusion, for one thing. Because, you know, even in toxic love, these people die, although it's not a big loss. Who cares? You know, at this point, you might even kill them. So that's a whole different energy. It's you really overcoming your fear of this other soulmate, anything happening to him. So you're being asked to try to move it forward without fear at this point.
Okay.
Your husband is very proud of you, by the way. You've done remarkably in terms of finances and keeping everything going. And he's proud of you. But do you understand what I was talking about, that you're afraid to love him?
No, I do, because that's it, and it comes back, and it was a lack that I've been fighting with all my life, the fear of lack, and that goes into every aspect of your life. And I've really come over through it in a lot of ways, but this ultimate one is just opening myself to somebody and just knowing that they love me, warts and all.
Right, and that no matter what, talking to dead people has been a great education for me. They don't regret loving, even if it turned out disastrously. They don't regret loving. They do regret that they didn't love as much as they should have. They regret that. A lot of, you know, people, if they've lost someone they love, if they've lost a child, if they've lost a parent when they're young or a lover, they tend to spend their life keeping their hearts sealed from really loving that much. And what they realize when they die is, holy shit, I'm seeing all these people I missed. They're all here. And now I'm missing the people on earth that I didn't love enough because I was afraid. So you might as well love all you can while you're here. You'll never regret that. No matter what the outcome is, you will go there saying, I told the people how much I love them. I gave them everything. You won't be looking for a psychic. Can you please tell my children I love them? Can you please tell this person? Why do I have to tell people that?
Well, I've always believed that when somebody transitions, and really it's just going to another dimension, you know, that we can talk to them and resolve everything within. So, yeah.
So you already have that knowledge. But even with that knowledge, it is your body that's scared. It's really the flesh and blood. It's not your heart, soul, mind, because you're doing a really good job loving that way.
Okay.
So try to overcome your fear of abandonment via death and let this man love you. I was going to say, what are you, nuts? Let this man love you. And please have no guilt because your husband brought him. Your husband's agreement with God was, I'll go if you give my wife love because she needs that and she deserves that. So love him without any guilt and just fully.
Okay. All right, just open my heart to him. Let him know I'm here and
go
I'm ready.
For it. Go for it and just enjoy it. And part of it is that you were married. It looks like a pretty long-term marriage. How long were you married?
Together, 26 years.
Okay, and part of you, when you make love or anything, has that little feeling of cheating for a while, as if you were not being loyal to your husband. And he's kind of laughing up there, you know, enjoy. That's what he wants, you know, love, make love, and enjoy that you were so blessed to be given two soulmates. We do have more than one soulmate. There's probably 30 on earth at any one time. And so if for some reason we mess it up or they mess it up or someone dies on us, if we've loved the best we can, another soulmate is brought to you, and that was your gift. So, you know, just, and your children also need to see you're teaching them something else. They can love with all their hearts. And if you get a soulmate and God forbid something happens to that person, you're not going to spend the rest of your life alone, lonely and aching. You will always have a place for your husband in your heart. You will always have a hole in your heart. But that's what's the wounded healer. That's what makes us so compassionate. When we have a hole in our heart that never fully heals, we then open our hearts to compassion for other people. And that's what you need to do. Just keep your heart open and compassionate and never seal that hole all the way. That's what makes us so able to help other people. It's because I've been so deeply wounded most of my life that hole in that heart makes me much more compassionate. And so see it as a blessing and not as a curse.
Okay. So just open my heart and just put it out there, just my intention that I'm ready to take that step, okay?
Absolutely, and please call in again and let us know when you make that transition from limiting how much you love to really letting it flow and how you and what healing you had to do and how you really probably will cry very deeply and really feel the mourning and then let it go. So it is an important healing step. When we have a soulmate, that is when we really heal our deep issues, and that's why most people run from a higher love because they really don't want to do the suffering of life. They'd rather stay neurotic and distract. So good luck to you, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful evening. Bye-bye. Talk to you later.
Bye. Isn't she lucky to have had two soulmates?
Absolutely.
Both men love her like crazy, by the way.
What?
Both men love her like crazy. She's lucky.
Oh, I'm sure.
She's
such a sweet
energy.
She's
such a beautiful energy. Doesn't she have a beautiful energy about her?
Yes, she does. Absolutely, she does. But all right, Cindy, we are going to move on to our next, hopefully lovely person. We're going to move on to Keisha in Texas. And this question is actually going to be a little bit more complicated than it sounds, Cindy. She wants to see if you see her leaving her home.
She sees her leaving her home?
Leaving her home, okay. A little more complicated than you might think. So we're going to move on to Keisha out in Texas.
Hi, Keisha.
Well, she's not connected yet, Sin. Don't jump the gun on me. Keisha, are you on the line?
Hey.
Hi, Keisha.
Hello? Hi, how are you doing?
Good. You want to be knowing if you're going to be leaving your home?
Yes.
Okay. There is a certain period of time of looking inward and deciding that's what you want to be doing. Have you done that inner looking?
Yes, I would like to stay here, but I mean, I'm not sure, you know, would the finances be here to keep the place?
I need to tell you, do you want to stay? That's what you just said?
Because
there's a new source of money and some abundance here. So you pretty much have made it clear to God you want to stay here. You're married?
No, I'm single.
Okay. Is there a relationship in your life right now?
None. Mm-mm.
Because that's going to come here too. So there's money, there's relationship, but you should be able to stay. You're starting to have some new thoughts. Are you thinking about a way to manifest more money? Is that on your plate? Because you really do have to think about that.
I've actually been thinking about starting a little business, but you know, in order to do that, I still need money in the meantime, you know, to start it up, to get this stuff, and I don't even have that. I'm really running low.
Okay.
So,
again, this is you now starting to visualize yourself having the money, visualizing yourself staying, because there is a new job in the picture. Are you working now?
No.
Okay, so there is a new job here. Are you doing anything to find work?
I've been putting out, doing what everybody else is doing, Craigslist, Monster, Career Builder.
I need to tell you, what came out of the recent studies is that if you're only looking for a job on the Internet, you're missing most of the opportunities.
Okay.
And in this economy, because there are so many people looking for work, they're not necessarily posting the jobs in a newspaper or on the Internet because they don't have to, because people are sending in their resumes to the human resources, and they can go right to the resumes that are going there. You might want to try some other things besides the Internet. Because it really is, people that I know who have only been looking for jobs on the Internet as well are not finding it. What kind of work did you do?
Customer service. No, I went on the Internet and I went through the Yellow Pages, and I scrubbed for all the call centers in that area, and I tried to look them up and go through their website. And I went down to all the employment agencies. And one of them did call me back, but she thought the job was too far out. And I was like, no, it's not. I used to live in New Jersey, New York. We spend an hour on the road, you know, stuck in traffic alone. So I can do it. But she didn't call me back on that one because I was too far away. And then there's another lady. She called me this week. It was a little small assignment, but I told her I couldn't take it because I had a doctor's appointment. But I told her to please keep me in mind for the next one because I can definitely do it. She says she will. So I'm really praying that she'll call me back.
Right. Well, I see.
But I know what you're saying.
I see that you're definitely going to get a job and it's coming soon. But there's no shortage of money on this planet. I can't stress that enough. And there's no shortage of work that needs doing. But if we keep talking negative, oh, the economy sucks, there's no job, God says, okay, there's no job for you because you think it sucks. As long as when we start saying there's a perfect job for me and abundance is surrounding me, and we start visualizing that, it happens. Try not to surround yourself with negative people. Try very hard to manifest what you want. You want to stay in place, you've made that decision, you're ready to work, and keep putting that energy out there so that when you go into an interview, you come across very positive. And anyone out there listening who's looking for work, when you go into an interview, don't go in alone. Bring your angels, those people we love who have crossed over. Because dead people, like our grandmas, can pop thoughts in the interviewer's head like, isn't she the greatest? Isn't she the one for the job? Hire her. She'll do the job. So you need to bring them with you so you have this sort of light surrounding you. And a lot of times when I've told people this, they've gotten the job, and later on when they have the job, the interviewer will say to them, I really don't know why I hired you. I just knew I had to. So it's let them speak for you as well. And just see yourself, because every card I pick is a money card, so you've got money coming here. There's also a very good relationship and a man who's a very good business partner in terms of he works, and it appears to be linked to your job, and I can't stress that enough, because if we've been in jobs we're unhappy with or settling, sometimes God gets us out of those because we're just too comfortable in the devil we know kind of life. It's not good. We've sort of settled for some illusion of safety and security, which it is an illusion, rather than happiness. So this is visualize yourself not only in a job, but in one you love and with love in your life. Because it does appear that your life is, you know, when God brings us to our knees, when he sort of takes everything out from under us, he's pretty much saying, you were miserable in that life. Why don't you choose again, and this time choose happiness? So really see that. You just don't want a job. You want something that you love getting up and going. Both Nicole and I are very blessed to have jobs we love to get up and go to. That's when life gets good. Do you know what I mean? We all have to work.
Right.
That's a given. That, you know, and even if if I was a gazillionaire, I'd still work because that's my mission. So try to understand that. You're really good at customer service. I know when I have to call, like I had to call Adobe Systems today because I've got an $11 charge on my credit card and I've never bought anything from Adobe Systems. Ha ha. They don't have a record of my account, so they don't know how to stop the $11 because they don't even know where it's being billed from. And the customer service person was really nasty and rude. And I thought, you know, I just had two parents that die. I do nothing but make bullshit phone calls to here and there and take care of crap all day long. It's nice when people understand that these calls, that when I'm sitting on the phone on hold for an hour, when I have a million other things to do, we really need a compassionate voice on the other end. And if you could be that sort of voice, you make people happy. Nicole, do you agree with that we need to have more people nice on the other side of the phone?
Absolutely. Absolutely I do. But you know what? It's you know, there's an old cliche that says that happiness or a smile is contagious. You know, and even though things might, like, seem kind of bleak, and even though things might not be exactly the way that you want them right now, that's only for right now, you know. And happiness is not, you know, a feeling. It's an attitude. And you know what? If you can look at any circumstance and say, you know what, this is just part of what's coming, you know, and that, you know, and be confident in the fact that, you know what, you're going to be taken care of, and be confident in the fact that things are going to work out the way, just exactly the way that they're supposed to, and that maybe this is just a few bumps on your path. You'll see the difference that will make to you, you know, because the bottom line is that, you know what, we're all on a journey. We're all taking different paths, you know, but not every path is going to be nice and smooth. Sometimes you're going to hit some rocks. Sometimes the path is going to be darker than others. Sometimes it's going to be really, really bright. But the bottom line is that there's a lesson in everything that we're being given. There's a lesson in everything that we're being shown. So you know what? Yes, you don't have a job right now, and you're looking and you're determined and you're trying. This is just part of your lesson. This is just part of what the universe wants to show you. And you know what? That job is going to come to you once you learn what that lesson is. So just keep your eyes open and keep your heart open and know that if anybody's got your back, God always does.
Exactly.
Okay.
And all of us in also should demand, you know, as Americans, that we would like customer service people to be Americans, because I can't understand half them and they can't understand me. So
they sure can.
So we need to get back to where we have our own people in our own country answering the phone because they know what you're talking about.
Right.
So
without the attitude, right?
Attitude. And without the fact that I can't understand half of what they're saying. Do you know what I mean? And they and the woman couldn't understand me either because I think she was in India.
Yeah.
And she couldn't understand me. I couldn't understand her. So that's the whole thing. We really need people like you in customer service. So good luck to you. And please call back and let us know what job has manifested
okay.
you. And good luck. And your love is coming, too. So keep your eye open for that one, too.
My what?
Your love life is
your love is coming.
Your
oh,
love
my love
coming.
Life. I thought you said my mother. I'm going to say, no, she ain't.
No.
No. Okay, okay. Well, thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much. You have a blessed night. Hey,
don't you like
you
her laugh?
Too, Keisha.
Wouldn't you like to
I
get out of the customer
laugh.
Service with that laugh?
Yes, absolutely. No, and you know what, Cindy? Like I said, that question was a little bit more complicated than we thought it was going to be. You know, when she first asked me that question in the chat room, you know, I was like, okay, you know, I didn't know where exactly it was going, you know. But, you know, then, you know, once she started to elaborate on what her current situation was, you know, I could hear the emotion in her voice, and I could hear, you know, that little bit of sadness and that frustration. And you know what, to finish up a call like that, you know, with her laughing, like, that made all the difference in the world, because obviously, you know, at that point, she needed to know, and she wanted just some inclination that things would be okay, like most of us do, and you just gave her that. So,
and
you know,
I
wish Keisha well.
She has such good energy surrounding her, so she has to bring that in with her interview. Try to show your bubbly personality, you know, in an interview, because that really
yeah.
helps. I know we have other callers, and they seem to be coming from all over the place.
They are coming from all over the place today. All right. We're going to actually move over to Arizona. We're going to speak to Jean right now, Cindy. And basically, Jean has been in a relationship for about 2 years now, and she really just wants to know where it's headed. Is this the one that you know, she's meant to be with, or, you know, is she going to stay in a little bit of limbo here? So let's move on to Arizona. Hello, Jean.
Hi.
Hi, Dean.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. So you've been in this relationship for 2 years.
Yeah.
He looks
yeah,
like
well,
a
actually, we know each other for almost 5 years, and our relationship is kind of like on and off, and this is just the first time that we kind of been together for almost 2 years.
Okay, because, again, it's that five-year cycle. Nicole's ready to, like, laugh because it's so predictable. Relationships sort of have to be reevaluated every 5 years. It's sort of in God's plan that we kind of figure out where they're going to be going. As you're closing up this, you know, 5 years from when you knew him to when you're with him, it looks like the relationship is good. But have you talked about your intention and where you want it to go? Because it looks like there seems to be a little lacking of communication as far as, you know, maybe you're just sort of drifting along, but have been afraid to tell him that you want more. Have you said the words?
Oh yeah, I talk already for him about it, and you know, I told him that you know I want to make it more stable relationship, that good communication, and I just only want to know where we headed, and then she just kind of like, yeah, I know where we're going there.
No, but
kind of
see,
like
what
that.
Happens is he, you know, we all laugh to hear the word commitment phobia, but it's like, how old are you, by the way?
I'm 39.
39, okay, because your generation is, you know, the generation that wants love, says they want love, and get it, but yet can't seem to take it to the next level. And, you know, how old is he?
Oh, he's 46 now.
Okay. You know, he's 46, you're 39. It's not 20-year-olds, do you know what I mean? It's now to the point where it does look like you need to move it forward. Did you want to be a mom?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because there is that here, but, you know, the reason God gave us a biological clock is it sort of forces us to make decisions. It looks like money-wise you should be able to afford, you know, a marriage here, and it looks like he wants to spend his life with you. I got the husband card. Now, the husband card indicates a man who loves you heart, soul, mind, and body. But you definitely, because you want to have children, can't sort of coast along forever. I mean, of course, you could have children without marrying him, but I don't think that that's what you want. You have a grandmother who passed away. Do you remember her?
both of the side of my mom and my dad passed away.
Who did?
Both sides, my mother.
This is your mother's mother. She's saying you're not the kind of girl who wanted to have a baby without getting married. I mean, you really sort of wanted the whole, you know, marriage. You're almost going to have to push this a little forward because he is a commitment phobic. It's not that he's not committed to you, but it's that he might not want to take it to the next step unless you sort of make it clear that's what you want. How often do you see him?
Oh, not much often because we're both busy. Actually, right now we're seeing just only once a week because we're both busy in our job.
Right, and again, though, sometimes with commitment phobics, they do deliberately or try to limit the amount that you see each other because it does keep it from moving forward. Again, if you were married and living together, you would see each other more, and that would make it better. I can see he's not going to move it forward unless you pretty much tell him this is what you want. You know, after a while, I don't want you to be 45 years old and realize this man doesn't want to commit to you, and you're sort of not having your dream of children. And so, you know, at 39, you really have to start pushing the envelope forward. You know, you're not 29, you're not 19.
Uh-huh.
Another 5 years can go by really quickly. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, think about from when you're 29 to 39. Didn't that go fast?
Mm-hmm.
You know, time goes very fast. So have you thought about pushing the envelope a little with him?
Actually, he knows already about what I want. You know, I told him we talk about it, and I told him that I want to have a kid. And it's kind of like him that he is kind of like more on too much shallow. I cannot much understand what he wants. He's just kind of like, I want you there, but he doesn't tell me what's going on.
Again, because commitment phobics give a lot of mixed messages. They don't even want to commit to an answer sometimes. He's never been married before.
No. He just only have a relationship with somebody, and he had a child with her, but never been married.
Okay, because he seems to be a massive commitment phobic here. So, you know, for your own benefit, you probably need to. It would be better if you knew now if he's never going to move this forward, because he's a person who, even though he had that long-term relationship and a child with the woman, he was never really fully committed to her. Are you aware of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's really deliberately limiting this, and there's definitely children in the future for you. It's up to you to move it forward because he's really not going to. He's got a kid. These men, what they do that really upset me, these commitment phobics, is they really don't care. He probably doesn't even care if he has another kid, and he's just telling you what you sort of want to hear. And then, you know, 5 or 7 years from now, when you're, you know, 47 years old, and you say, I'm ready to have a baby, and he says, well, I really don't want to have one. And he's out the door. I don't want you to be one of those women. So, you know, you really do have to speak up and give a time frame here. I mean, how long are you going to willing to wait to not get married and have a baby? Do you have a time frame in your mind when you would want this?
Oh, to have a baby? Actually, I'm hoping that if not this year, next year.
Right. So have you told him that?
Yeah, he knows about it. And we talk about it because I give him also some hint that, you know, if this relationship will not going forward for where it's going, so just let me go. You know, just give me my freedom.
But these men don't do this. I have over 3,000 clients. I have at least 400 women that were waiting for these men to commit, and then they were into their 40s, and it never came to be because these men just kept sort of stringing them along, and they really have a lot of resentment. But I have to say, we have to be responsible for our life. And you're the one who's going to have to say, if I want to be engaged. That's what I want. I want to know that we're getting married. I want to set a date. And if he starts running, it's better to know now than 5 or 8 years from now. When you're going to be like 48 years old and now you're too old to have a baby, and so you might as well stay with him, sort of seeing him once a week. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's deliberately limiting how close you can get.
Yeah. Well, the only thing is, you know, sometimes I'm kind of like question is, did he really truly care for me or love me?
No, he does. I do see that. I do see it's not a lack of love. He does care about you. He does love you, but he may not want to have any more children. Does he say he wants children?
Yeah, he's telling me about that because, you know, he wants to have somebody too that he will get to be, you know, that he can see it, basically.
Right.
Well,
so,
the only thing's the problem for him is because of his past relationship. That's
right.
The only thing's the problem. Yeah, you're right for about committed phobia because it's how many times that he did that one and there's some of his past relationship hurt him. That's why.
So now he's afraid, and that's what, you know, because people get afraid. They're afraid of being hurt. They're limiting, you know, how close they're going to get. So at this point, you need to say, we've been knowing each other 5 years. At this point, you must trust me in your heart. You must know I'm not going to hurt you. And let's see if we can move this forward. You know, try to talk about it in a gentle way because, you know, it looks as if he's not going to commit to you unless you kind of tell him, I'm either going to get a commitment from you or I'm going to have to leave. And not ask him to let you go. It's like, I have to go to find somebody who wants to commit to me. In doing that, he may have to take a chance that you'll break up and give him time to think of and miss you and come back. You know, otherwise, it appears from these cards, it won't move forward unless you move it forward.
So I need to
You need
do
to
the
take
action.
The lead here. Absolutely.
I need to do the action.
You need to take the lead.
Yeah.
Well, please, call us in the future and let us know. But in letting someone know that this is what I want to be married, you know, within the next 2 years and have a baby, I can't wait forever. So, I mean, you should, by Valentine's Day or Christmas, have an engagement ring on your hand. And then a date set for, you know, like a 6 months to, you know, a year from then and get it forward. If he doesn't want to do that, keep in mind, you've got a biological clock ticking.
Yeah.
You can't wait forever. And I have too many clients who wanted to be mothers and it never happened because the men just never brought it forward and they kept waiting and waiting and waiting. I don't want you to be one of those. Cause you're not. Some of the clients I know, they're like 45. They haven't had a date in 20 years. Now they tell me they want to be married and have a baby. And I'm like, no, you don't. You don't not date for 20 years. This is not what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that you want this. Do you know what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
So I don't want him to deprive you of something you really want. Mm-hmm. Nicole, do you agree with that?
I do. I definitely agree with that. And also, I want you to remember something else, Jean. This is your life. Whether or not he's going to be part of your life, that's his decision. And whether or not you're going to accept him in your life is your decision. But the bottom line is that you don't need to say, well, you know, you don't need to ask him to let you go. If it's your time to go, then you go. You know, you don't ask his permission and you don't ask him to do something. You know what? If you don't want to waste any of your precious time, then it's up to him to take the step forward. And if he's not willing to take that step forward and take that initiative, then it's your turn to take initiative to do what you want to do in your life, whether it's with him or with anybody else that comes your way.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's good.
Well, good luck. Yeah. Please call us and let us know. I think we have time for one more caller, Nicole.
Okay.
We
thank
do
you,
have time for
you.
One more caller.
Okay.
Thank you
night.
So much. Good luck.
Okay. Have a blessed evening.
You too, Jean. All right, we do have time for one more call. We've got about 5 minutes left, and actually a lot of our callers are going to be happy with this last call. And as usual, I'm going to just tell everybody that if we do get cut off, you can always listen to the end of the conversation on the podcast that is available at www.blogtalkradio.com. So we are moving on to Frank in California, Cindy. He's calling us with another update.
Oh, good. Everybody's
going
to ask you that, Frank. Okay, thank you, Frank. Everybody wants to hear what's going on.
Well, I told Frank in the chat room that he's got a larger support system than he realizes. So we're moving on to Frank and Callie. Ladies, listen up. Frank is on the phone. Hello, Frank. You are on the air.
Greetings, Cindy. Hello.
Hi, how are
you? Thank
you
for taking my call.
Yes,
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine, and thank you. And yourself, how have you been since the last time I talked to you?
I'm hanging in there. You know, I did lose my mom last week, so...
Yes.
Just hanging in there with all of the paperwork, estate. And I say there's no time to mourn, just to fill out forms. And it's really, that's the hard part about it. But, again, I have siblings. I have three brothers and all sort of dumped everything in my lap and kind of, you know, you'll relate to this, Frank. I said, well, it's going to be my way things done because if you're not here doing it, then it's just too bad. So if you want it done your way, you'll come here and help. So, you know, everybody expects, you know, one person in a family to pick up all the slack, and that's not really fair. So if any of you out there have family member that could use a little help, please do it. Frank, so what's happening with your legal situation?
Well, it's moving on. I'm just waiting for my attorney to submit the subpoenas to the bank for the bank records, the escrow accounts, and also for the medical records regarding the doctors as well as additional hospitals and care centers. And I'm just waiting in that part. But what I've noticed is the energy around me since I'm doing these things, things are starting to open up for me. And basically my roadblocks with certain projects are starting to be lifted. And
because you're fighting the battle God asked. Remember I told you, if you don't fight this battle, he's going to give you another one.
Yes.
And,
yes, you're
and
absolutely
you think
right.
That
and
your energy is shifting, too. You're no longer a victim or a doormat.
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right. And you know what's funny about it? I've been having problems with this one project for about a year, this roadblock, with this one person. And now this person that was hiding behind the curtain is exposed. It was a female. And I could feel her energy. It's just like my sister's.
Right, and that's what it was. If you, because you were going to have to keep fighting this particular kind of person, this narcissistic manipulator, that, you know, until you fought one, you would not be able to, you know, ever stop having this lesson. You had to learn it. Do you know what I'm saying? So now
yes.
that you've learned it, are you dealing with that person differently? Is that what's happening?
Oh, yes, especially now since I know what her tactics and what her energy is. Basically, I just go right to the throat, right in between the eyes.
Wow, and that's exactly it. And did you see you learned something? You learned not to be afraid. Can you see how when we're afraid, and there's two kinds of older souls on the planet, there's the good to a fault, like you are and I am and Nicole are, where we tend to be loyal to a fault, we don't see evil, we don't see manipulation, we, you know, keep forgiving too quickly. And the narcissistic manipulators, who keep trying to make us feel guilty, who keep trying to manipulate us and let us not see truth. And once you've fought one of those narcissists, once you've stopped being loyal to that kind of a person, you will never do it again. And your life suddenly becomes not one of being victimized, but one in being empowered. So you've taken your first step toward enlightenment and toward empowerment to make no excuses for someone's abuse, and to stand up for yourself with your self-esteem and with your honesty and truth. And life is going to be a lot easier for you, Frank, a lot easier, trust me, because we're surrounded by these kinds of people. And, you know, I'll give a quick example. One of my clients has had a heroin-addicted husband, an alcoholic for 20 years. And this man, and she divorced him, and he still didn't leave the house and this and that, and so she let him stay, and now he's gotten really bad, and now the court system and the police won't even support her because she allowed him to live there. And the other day I told her, you have to make up your mind to get him out of your house once and for all. Stop being manipulated. Stop being disloyal. If you have to make up a lie about him to get the police to finally arrest him, do it. Do what you got to do. Just get him out of your house. And she was just, you know, calling the police, and he was threatening her, and she didn't have to make up a lie. She did, you know, tell that he was threatening her. And this time the police came and took it seriously and arrested him and took him away. And I said, well, how do you feel? She said, wonderful. Wonderful. I finally did what I should have done. So it took her 20 years of abuse because she was just too good. So all of us have to, if these people are manipulating us, lying to us, hurting us, we don't have to keep cleaning up their mess anymore. So it's a very important empowerment. Do you feel empowered now?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
And keep going and, you know, keep calling us, let us know how it goes, and just know that we don't have to keep people in our lives who are hurting us. I don't care who they are. And, you know, all of us are learning lessons that it's our inner circle that are hurting us, and we just have to make sure we allow only those people in our inner circle who are serving our higher good.
That's
well,
right.
On that note,
that's
we're
going
to say good night. Frank, please call us again. Nicole, do you have a shout-out?
Yes, actually. I'm just going to shout-out to Phil, who, like I said earlier in the show, we are opening up our second location of Play and Trade Out in Shirley. So those of you guys in the New York area, you can come check us out over on Montauk Highway. And, of course, to, you know, my quote-unquote friend, hi. That's it.
And thanks a lot, and good luck to all of our callers. And please, by the way, Nicole,
yes.
For you, next week we're not having a show because I do have a lot of stuff to take care of, and
yes,
that's what I have to do. So we're going to take the 12th off, and then we'll be back on the 19th and the 26th. Will you
Excellent.
Remember that, Nicole, or do you need me to...
You know what? Remind me anyway, Cindy, because I'm going to have a lot going on these next couple of weeks, so remind me anyway.
Okay.
Otherwise, you know, you're going to be left to your own defenses.
Otherwise, when you go to sign on, you'll see there's no show.
It'll be like, you might be talking, but nobody will be picked up, so.
Exactly. Well, have a great week,
All right.
and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Absolutely, and good night, guys.
Bye.
Peace and love to you, Cindy.